And we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah tonight, and we're going to look at this hammer. And I don't know about you, but these series have been great encouragement to me. I know I'm the one preaching them, but man, I've been getting help, and I'm in a bad habit of turning that on and then turning it off. And I think we're on. We on now? And so we've been doing this series of messages on the metaphors of the Word of God. We looked at the lamp. The Bible is a lamp. We've looked at the Bible as light. We've looked at the Bible as a mirror. We've looked at the Bible as a sword. And now today we've been looking at the Word of God as a hammer. And we've taken our passage of Scripture out of the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 23. Now, I gave a long introduction this morning, and I tried to give you the context of why God would give this passage of Scripture at this moment. And I explained all of that this morning, that God is very angry. He was angry with all of the prophets and the preachers. They were preaching, but they were not preaching His Word. And we went into all of that this morning. So you have to understand, God is saying in verse 29, is not my word like a fire? In other words, He's saying, do you not know that it's like fire? Why would you be telling dreams? Why would you be sharing dreams? Why would you be leading my people astray? Do you not know that my word is like fire? And He said, why would you be sharing dreams? He said, my word is like fire. But then He said, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So God likens His word to fire and to a hammer. Now, we've not looked at the word fire yet as far as the metaphor of the Bible, but we're going to go into a lot of detail about that. There's a lot to be said about the fire of the Word of God. But this is the one passage where God even calls His Word like a hammer. And the Bible says He's trying to speak of the power of the Word of God. So we've talked about earlier today, this morning, we just really got through the introduction. We were dealing with why He would say this. What is the context that surrounds this statement that God would say His word is like a hammer? And of course, He gave a scathing indictment to all of the false preachers, false prophets in that day. He said, if you're going to have a dream to tell, if you've got a story to tell, tell your stories, but don't sit there and tell stories and say that's the word of God. He said, I want you to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. So we talked about that, shared a lot of things with that this morning. And then we barely touched on the demolition of the hammer. We talked about the hammer. A hammer is used, yes, for demolition. It's used to break things up. It's used to bust things. The Bible says that it breaks the rock in twain. And so we preached this morning. We know that this book will show you where sin is. And it will break up the hard hearts that sin has caused. What's going to break that up? The hammer. So what did we say? We got to keep swinging. And I'm glad that a hammer can be used by anybody. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, what background you have. I'm thankful this hammer could be handled by anybody. It can be swung by anybody. And the Bible tells us that His hammer breaks up the rock. So we know that there's some things in our lives that need to be demolished. They need to be broken. We talked about the walls that is a barrier between us and God. It needs to be broken down. The walls that sin puts in our lives and the sin that destroys our lives, those need to be broken up. Those hard hearts need to be broken up. Hey, anything between your spouse and you, the Word of God is a hammer that can break those walls down. We talked about how the hammer is with a preacher. When someone's preaching the Word of God, it's a demolition crew. There's some things that need to be broken and need to be tore down in our life. And so then we closed this morning that, you know, someone might say, well, Pastor, I've struck my husband for years with the Word of God. Can I just say to you, keep striking. Keep hitting lovingly. Keep giving the Word of God. You say, Pastor, I've got a child that's rebellious. I've got a child not living right. Well, then lovingly, keep lovingly, and I'm going to talk about that more, lovingly keep hitting them with the hammer. Keep swinging the hammer. Sometimes the rock's not broken on the first try. Sometimes the rock's not broken on the second try. Sometimes it's not broken on the 20th time. But praise God, it will yield because God says that His Word will not come back void. And we know that His Word works. Now, I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? The very first time. Now, I want you to be honest.
How many of you, the very first time, the best way you can recollect that you got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? Is anyone like that? I cannot raise my hand. I cannot say that I got saved the very first time that I heard the gospel. How many of you got saved after hearing it maybe a couple of times? Would you raise your hand? That's probably like most of them. Some of you ain't saved at all, amen? So you didn't raise your hand for you heard it the first time. Then I asked, how many of you feel like you got saved after you heard it a couple more times? I hope everybody will raise a hand. How many of you believe you got saved? Amen. But it might have took a while is what I'm trying to say. And maybe you've heard the preaching over and over and over and over. I'll never forget the night, Brother Corey, and I'm sure they're at home tonight. Miss Deanna's recovering from this knee surgery. Brother Corey and Deanna started coming to church, and they came for weeks. They came for months. And out of the blue, man, one night, Miss Deanna calls Laura and I late in the evening, and she's like, Pastor, she said, Corey's under conviction. She said, he knows that he's not saved. Will y'all get down here? Man, Laura and I went down to their house 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and he got saved. And it was after numerous times that the hammer kept hitting. Why is it in a vacation Bible school they hear the gospel maybe the first night, the second night, the third night, the fourth night, but boy, on that fifth night, boy, that hammer comes through. So what do I say? I say to all of our Sunday school teachers, keep swinging the hammer. I say to all you parents, you say, well, I've got children that won't obey. Well, keep swinging the hammer. Make them every day memorize Scripture and put it in their heart. Have it up in your home. Have certain verses up in your home that when they brush their teeth or when they go to the refrigerator, wherever they go, I want you to start hitting them with the hammer. It will break. It will finally break and it will yield. So we talked about the demolition of the hammer, but tonight I want to talk to you quickly now, the development of a hammer. Now, we know that it can destroy. We know a hammer can destroy. We know it can rip stuff apart. But I want you to know something. Not only does it destroy, the Word of God is a tool that is not only destructive, but it's also, praise God, constructive. It's constructive. It's amazing that the same tool that can put holes everywhere and rip and snort through the walls can also be used to fasten things tightly together and make something look beautiful. Amen. Hammer will do it. Yeah. So most people look at the hammer and say, I'll tell you right now, man, that hammer, man, it hits, it convicts. Yes, it does, but I praise God, thank God, it comforts too. Hey, I want you to know it heals too. It builds too. It not only breaks, it builds. By the way, the building of the church, the Word of God just nails it down. Can I say, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and one built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. I love that word, fitly framed together. That word here is used to mean to join together as a carpenter does framework on a building. Now, I'm not much of a carpenter. You won't want me to build you anything, but I'm thankful I can use this hammer, and I know what this hammer builds. I know how it puts a bunch of people that might not have the same desires in life, when God gets a hold of people's hearts and puts them in the church as the family of God, this Word of God will fitly join everybody here exactly the way He wants it done. It's amazing how all of us have different tastes and we all have different likes. And you say, Pastor, how does the church work? I'm thankful that we have a hammer. The Word of God is our base. It fitly joins us together, so it builds us. It strengthens us. The materials are accurately and carefully united so that the building is firm and unwavering. And by the way, there's different materials used. Even in this building, in the physical structure, we have carpet on the floor. Underneath that, we have subfloor. In behind the sheetrock, behind the stud, we have 2x4s and studs up. Up here, we've got, what do we have? On top of this, we've got insulation up there, and we've got a million different wires going back through there. Amen. And pretty soon, we're going to have some more going back through there because we're going to be mounting 3 new cameras. But I say, all of it's different material. And I'm thankful in this church, we're all different material. There's all different shapes, all different sizes, all different age. All different backgrounds, all different, but I thank God that the hammer can be effectively applied to all of us. I'm so thankful to have different kinds of timber may be employed, but one part shall be worked into another so as to constitute a durable and beautiful construction. What is the key ingredient of the church? You? Me? What's the key ingredient? Look at verse 22. I just read it. I'll read it again to you. The Bible says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple of the Lord." What is the basis or the foundation of the prophets? Listen to me. It is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word himself. Key ingredient to the church is the Word of God. The church has been built with the hammer of God's Word. And by the way, if we have the right kind of home, our homes have also been built by the hammer of the Word of God. The same goes true in our individual lives. If our lives are going to be built, they're going to be built upon the hammer of the Word of God. If our country is going to be strengthened and it's going to be built properly, and by the way, our founding fathers understood this, but we've gotten away from it through the years. But I want you to know something they understood as well, because the Word of God is all through the principles of our great Constitution. I want you to know if the same goes for our country. Can I say the Word is the hammer with which to build a successful life? You know, we get in front of children and teenagers all the time, and it amazes me what all they hear today. They're told, "Oh man, you just got to believe in yourself." Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible, "Oh, just believe in yourself." No, the Bible doesn't tell me. I better not trust myself. Who should I believe? Him? Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to just choose anything that'll make you happy. Well, the Bible says that if you'll do the will of God, that you'll be joyful. So, oh, well, I'll tell you what, just make your own choices. You direct your own life. No, the Bible says that in all my ways, I should be following Him, and He'll direct my paths. Boy, we hear young people being told all this stuff today, and sadly, man, they're just soaking it all in. But I want to say to every young person here, I want to give you the Bible tonight. If you want the joy of the Lord, then listen, you do the will of the Father. Amen. You pattern your life after what God desires for you. What God desires for you. Someone might say, and we talked about this earlier today, someone might say, "Well, I've tried all that, it didn't work." Well, you didn't try it long enough. You didn't try it long enough. There was something missing there. There was some principles. And by the way, you cannot relate that to me or you, because I'm going to tell y'all something right now. There's going to be people in this church, and I'm going to be a person in this church. We're going to fail one another, but He never fails. And His promises are true whether you lie or whether I lie. His promises are always true. So we have to trust Him. And by the way, sometimes it don't feel good trusting Him. It's not comfortable trusting Him. But I want to say to every young person here, if you'll follow the way of the Lord and you'll try to get your face in this book and you'll read in this book and you'll try to follow what God has for you, I promise you, you'll have no regrets. You won't miss out on a thing. I'll tell you what you will miss out on. You'll miss out on a broken life, broken dreams. Possibly you can miss out on a broken marriage. You can miss out on being a drug addict. Listen, people that get away from this book, they go to all types of lengths of life, and they're none the better. God's Word and this hammer is what we should build our life on. Now look, if I didn't believe that, I'd quit what I'm doing. If I didn't believe that, if you don't believe it, look, we're all wasting our time tonight. Let's all go to the ball game tonight. Listen, honestly, if that's the best we have is what this world can tell us, then we're wasting our time tonight. But you know why we're here? Because you and I both know God's always right.
Amen.
See, it has come the joyful life, the constructive life, the blessed life comes when we follow the precepts and the promises of this book. Can I say Psalm 128, verse 1? Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. That is principles and applicable to all of us today. Can I say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. God gives the prescription right there to a blessed home, a blessed life, or an unstable or an absolute miserable life, because when that house falls, when that life falls, the Bible says great is the fall. And what's the difference? Just simply this. Them that hear his words and doeth them. Yes. Not hears them. Well, Pastor, I've heard that. Oh, I know we've heard it. We hear stuff all the time. But the difference between a wise man and a foolish man is they not only hear the hammer, they do what the hammer says. Because the storms of life are going to come. They will come. Someone said to me this morning, said, I don't think I've ever seen more people sick or going through something in our church as they are right now. Can I say this? I agree with you, but I will also say this. There's very few times in our ministry that there's more blessings happening too. And I'm hoping I can share a whole lot more of these in the next few weeks. So I want to say to you, this hammer, it builds too. Amen. How many of y'all glad your life's been built on the hammer? Now I want to give some very discerning words here tonight. We've looked at the demolition of the hammer, the development of the hammer. It builds too. It doesn't just break. But can I say there should be discipline of a hammer? Now this is for Christian people that want to have the wisdom of God in their life and they want to practice discernment. Be careful with this hammer. Careful how we have to use a hammer. Now let me just say, a physical hammer, we know that if we swing it too hard, it will break. It will not have any effect if we don't swing it hard enough. Pastor, can you nail that nail in there? Well, that's going to take you about a year. You gotta know how to use that hammer. Whack. You want to have discipline of the hammer, because if you hit it too hard, you can break the hammer. Now, there's some hammers that people have you ain't going to break. Amen. I've seen some hammers, I'm like, man, that's more like a sledgehammer with hooks on them, amen? That's a little inside joke, and the one who knows who I'm talking about, because he's smiling from ear to ear. But to be fair, all you guys as carpenters, now you got to be careful with them guns, you know? That'll kill somebody. But we don't have any of them at the house. My wife won't let me have any of them at the house. I got enough weapons. But if you're going to use an old-fashioned hammer, now listen to me, you're going to have to know how to use it. You're going to have to either hit it, you're going to have to hit it just right. You're going to have to know how soft or how hard to hit it. Because if you hit it too hard, it's going to break. If you hit it too soft, it ain't going to work. And then you can use a hammer and you can bend things out of place, and you can never get them back the way they were if you're not careful with the hammer. Because I'll tell you right now, we've had some people here come in this church and they've been bent out of shape because somebody has not used the hammer right. They said something that shouldn't have never been said while they're sitting here in the pews. So something's been bent out of place, and we didn't have any we didn't have any business hitting the hammer. Are y'all with me? Discernment. And I'm going to tell you what else a hammer can do. If you hit somebody wrong with it, hit them in the wrong place, listen to me, it can cause scars that they'll never get over. Now, I want to make a very clear point here. If there's damage done with this hammer, it's never the hammer. It's never this book. It's the one using the hammer. Now, I want to say a couple things as I talk about this. When someone's speaking, we were talking about this today. If you want to find fault in someone trying to swing a hammer, look at me. You're going to have a heyday here with me, every Sunday school teacher, everybody that teaches the Bible, because you know what? We're all human. So I'm going to say, if you come to church and you want to be offended by how someone's swinging the hammer, listen to me, you'll get offended. That's not what I'm talking about. It's amazing to me. Something was said to me the other day, and I said, oh my, I had no idea about that. Then I got to thinking about it. I was like, man, I was preaching on that. I bet you so-and-so thought that I was talking about that. And I'm going to be honest with you. God is my witness and my hand on this hammer. I was just preaching. Had no idea. So I have seen certain circumstances where somebody's swinging the hammer and someone's struggling with something and we're not aware of it. I was the assistant pastor of Greystone Baptist Church for 7.5 years, and I knew Pastor. I was in his office. We talked every day. I worked with him every day. I went into his office often. I knew him well. He's like a dad to me. And it amazed me how many people come to me after church. Well, I tell you right now, he bothered me by that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, he knew I was going to do that, and he said that out of spite. And I was like, listen to me. I want you to know something. That ain't true. And you know what I would say? I'd say, here, let's me and you go in there and let's talk to him. All of a sudden, they didn't want to go talk. So I'm going to say, if you're going to speak and preach and teach the hammer, it goes with the program. You are going to get accused. And by the way, we're all flesh. We can do it. But if we know we've done it, then we need to have a humble spirit about it. If we're aware of it, and we need to apologize. But see, the sad thing is most people never know you did it, and you never get a chance to apologize. But we got to have discipline using the hammer. Now, if there's damage done, it's never the hammer. It's always the one swinging the hammer. Now, let me give you a couple of things here. The power of the swing and how we swing the hammer is determined by the material that we're hitting. For instance, we have a deacon's meeting every so often. And these men have been saved and been in the ministry for a long time. Many of them have been saved longer than I've been alive. So when we go in here in my office and we have a deacon's meeting, I'm just going to be honest with you. I can swing that hammer pretty hard. Y'all know why? Because they can take it. Or they should be able to take it. Right? I mean, we can talk about things in there. I mean deep things. I mean things that we need to work on. There's things. But listen, if I'm not careful, I could swing that hammer out here, and we have a dear, precious visitor that just walked in the door. They have no idea what they're talking about, and I could swing the hammer in that like I would in there, and I could offend somebody. I could hurt somebody with the hammer. The same thing, I could hit them a little harder in here. Not that I'm hitting them, but we're talking about deep things of God that we might be doing in the confines of that room. And it's heavy, deep, I mean heavy, deep stuff that the Bible reveals. But I can't always openly hit that in a public congregation. I got to be careful how I hit that hammer. I got to be careful how we give truth. We got to be careful of who the material. By the way, we think about the power of the swing is determined by the material that's being struck. If you're putting a nail in a sheetrock, you're going to hit it softer than you're going if you're going to hit it in an oak log. Same with this hammer. See, here's what I'm trying to say. We're going to deal with different people different ways, but we're going to use the hammer. Are y'all with me? This is where discernment comes in. This is where wisdom comes in. You say, well, I'm just going to unload the whole boat of them when they come in my office. Be careful. The Word of God's powerful. It's a hammer. It will break, but it will break things. But we have to have discernment. And you say, Pastor, have you always had it? Look, I've failed just like you have. But I can promise you this. I desire to swing the hammer right and in love. I told you this morning, if this ever became a job to me and I got up just to do it and I don't love you and I don't love the Lord, look at me. I'd quit today. I'm not going to preach and do this thing as a job. I'm not going to do this because it's what I'm supposed to do. If I don't have the love and the right motive to preach God's word, look, y'all deserve better than that. By the way, when you go off to Bible college, you think someone thinks they're free. Oh, well, he can preach. Well, that's great that he can preach. But more importantly, here's the thing. You don't want to be some robot that just knows how to expound on the Bible. Why do we hit that different material differently? Because we love who we're trying to help. And we realize that maybe we could come in too hard. Maybe we could come in too soft. You say, Pastor, have you ever missed it? Yes, I've missed it. Maybe I've come in too hard. Sometimes I've come in too soft. But I want you to know, my desire is to hit and use the hammer right. By the way, here's why a lot of people won't use the hammer at all, because you know how fickle people are and how quickly somebody can get mad with you. How many of y'all know that's true? That's why a lot of times we'll just say a word. Because if we know we hit them, even if it's soft, most people today, man, they can't take it. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to give some reason or some excuse why they get upset with you. But I'll tell you one thing, it will never be this book. You ever notice people don't criticize the Bible? They always criticize the one swinging it.
You're right.
But you know what the real problem is? I've learned this in 26 years. I'm going to be honest with y'all. It's not the person swinging bothering them. It's the hammer that's bothering them. But they ain't going to line up and say, oh, well, I'll tell you why I got mad about that, because it just hit me right between the eyes. No, they said, well, I'll tell you right now, I just didn't like the way that preacher said it. I'll be honest, I've probably been guilty of that. But I'm going to tell you, I've sat in preacher service before and someone seemed mad and I'm sitting there going, man, I don't know if I like exactly the way he's talking or not. But that's really not what's bothering me. What he's saying is bothering me. I'll never forget, I got to share this, I'm going to close. Years ago when I went off to Kenya, back many years ago, 15 years ago, me and Tom Sexton was traveling back on the last leg of the flight. It was 8.5 hours. And we were sitting there talking, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said, when I was working for Dr. Robertson, he said, me and another man in the bus ministry and another man, and he said, our wives were in this room, and we were talking about things that had nothing to do with ministry. He said, Dr. Robertson walked in that office and heard us all talking about, and it was not ministry and it was not church related. And Dr. Robertson scolded them really, really hard. And he said, man, when Dr. Robertson walked out of the door, he said, man, it was like a 10-pound megaton bomb had done dropped in there, and all of us had our heads down. We didn't know what to say. And he said, Dr. Faulkner walked in there. He said, he put his arm around Brother Tom. He said, now, Brother Tom, he said, we ought to be thankful for a pastor that loves this work so much and he loves us that he don't want us dallying with our time. He wants us to do everything we can for the Lord. And I'm like, man, I'd still be mad. But I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I was like, was that real, Brother Tom? I said, is that true? I said, is that how Dr. Faulkner was? He said, I'm telling you right now, that's exactly how Dr. Faulkner. He said, he just knelt down and prayed with all of us, and he said, we got on our way. And I thought, man, If I did that, look, we're scared to death to do stuff like that. Why? Because we know they're going to react the same way his staff did. Same way I would react. What's the principle? Whether right or wrong, whether someone says it right or someone says it wrong, we ought to be thankful for at least someone telling us the truth. And although it might could have been done better, we still ought to see the hammer instead of just the one swinging it. By the way, you're going to be hit hard, people. I'm going to fail you. You're going to fail me. But I want you to know, as long as someone's swinging the hammer will build our lives. So let's be careful. We're hitting with different material, and let's ask God to help us how hard, how soft, how often to swing the hammer. But then as I can say this, with children, much care. With children, much care. With much care. Their lives can be shattered and can be frightened by some of the promises of the Word of God. You know, so I'm trying to say this, and I know nobody's here doing it, but you certainly don't want to preach and teach the book of Revelation to your five-year-old daughter. You see what I'm saying? There needs to be discipline in swinging this hammer. And again, I want to say, the hammer never hurts somebody. The Bible says that the word is a word of life, but I'm going to be honest. The hammer will break. It breaks the rock in twain. And I'm going to say, true spiritual growth comes by pain. When the Word of God starts to crank in and start to breaking up the things in our lives and in our hearts, starts breaking up sin in our lives, it's not because God's a mean God, it's because God is a God of love. And sometimes, let me just say, He knows exactly how to hit it, when to hit it, how hard and how soft. We ought to always be minding the Lord and let Him use His hammer in our lives. And we as the people that are trying to help people and swing the hammer, to sometimes we have to destroy or demolish. Sometimes, most of the time, I hope, we're trying to build. Let's be very careful in the way we're handling the hammer. Amen? Now listen. We got a lot of visitors coming. A lot. We need to be careful. We need to be wise.
Yes.
And we need to be patient.
Yes.
Amen. Let the Lord do the work. If you want to help somebody, encourage people.
Amen.
Don't take it upon ourselves that we got to preach to them every time they come in here and tell them what they need to fix and get done and do and all that.
Amen.
Listen to me. How many of y'all got fixed in a day? Huh? Is He still working on y'all?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He's going to work on them too. And so let's be very discerning. Let's be careful how we handle. Well, did you not hear what the preacher said? Well, that's probably misusing the hammer.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you right now, I just don't think you ought to be. It's probably misusing the hammer. Let's be cautious. Amen? Let's be gracious. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Because what? We know if this hammer's helped build our life, this hammer will build others' lives.
That's right.
Let's be discerning. Don't be scared. You have to share and swing the hammer. But always err on the loving side. Amen? And this, look here. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. God help me. I'm thankful we have the hammer. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. And let's ask God to help us. When He talks about this hammer, He's talking about the power of the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how far you've come since you got saved? Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Isn't it amazing how far you've come once you got saved? It all starts when you get saved. And I want everybody to bow their head, close their eyes tonight just for a minute. And let's ask God to search our hearts. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm here tonight, and I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. You say, would you pray for me? You're here tonight and you say, that's me, Pastor Mark. I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up where I can see it? You say, I don't know for sure, Pastor, if I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Anyone at all? I see that hand. Now, I want our church to pray. I want the young lady that just raised her hand, would you look at me just a second? No one else is looking. Would you look at me just a second? You raised your hand. You said you don't know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven. Wouldn't you like to know tonight? Well, I'm going to ask you, if you'll step forward right down here, I'm going to ask Brother Jim, you and Miss Kimberly, I think you know this young lady. I'm going to ask, would you come down and let these two take you over here and show you from the Bible? Would y'all be willing to do that, you and Miss Kimberly? Can we turn? We love all you online. Thank you. God bless you for listening tonight. We'll see you soon.